Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio. It's radio that's good for you.
According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, Americans make more than 405 million long-distance trips per year. And that means that millions of us are not able to keep with our exercise routines or stick to the diet. If you've got airplane food, you're going out to dinners and things, how do you stay healthy while traveling? My guest is Jane McAllister. She's a certified integrative nutrition health coach. Welcome to the show, Jane. So we've talked on some of our shows, and we do a show here for the American College of Sports Medicine about the airport fitness. So I'd like to just start there about kind of keeping healthy while we're sitting around in the airport waiting.
Well, the first thing is you don't have to sit around in the airport waiting. And, you know, there are plenty of opportunities within airports, and they're growing. First of all, the most obvious is to walk the concourse. And I hate stating the obvious, but the trouble is at the end of the day, most of us don't do the obvious. And as it transpires, there are actually quite a few airports that have dedicated walking paths. You won't always see them advertised or promoted, and I have a theory, and if I'm wrong, tell me, that airports really do want you to sit there and eat and drink, or they want you to shop so they can make money off their concessions.
I'm thinking you're probably right.
Yeah, but there are several
like
major
Minneapolis.
Airports. Yes, Minneapolis does. And what I love about Minneapolis is they actually have baggage storage, because the one thing that bothers me, you know, I'm also a certified Pilates instructor, is when I watch people dragging their luggage through airports is the way it's being done. You know, the back's arching, the arms dragging behind them. I know you have a background in kinesiology, so you'll understand what I'm talking about. So if, you know, if the baggage can be checked or kept somewhere, then that's great. And Minneapolis does that, Anchorage does that, and Fort Lauderdale.
So now what about healthy airport food? Because people do sit there on their phones, and if they are going to get up and walk around, here in Chicago, Rick Bayless has got a couple of places in the and the food is it's healthier. It's just a better option than just cheeseburgers and McDonald's.
Yes, if we could clone Rick Bayless, life would be wonderful.
Wouldn't it?
But what we're seeing, I mean, talking about Rick Bayless as a celebrity chef, is that a lot more of them are opening restaurants in airports. It seems to be a trend at the moment. And while you might not necessarily think that that's going to be healthier, the fact is at the end of the day, it is, because their food's going to be fresher. It's not going
that's
to be
right.
processed.
That's right. That's the main thing, is that it's just, it's going to be fresher because they are going to be much more picky about that. And whereas the McDonald's, Taco Bell, Burger King, any of those, Barrow Pizza, whatever, that's just all so huge and it comes in frozen every day and they just slap it on and it's just so unhealthy. Now, also traveling around in that big germ capsule that people travel around in, obviously, as you say, stating the obvious, washing our hands. But what else can we do on an airplane that will help keep us healthier?
Well, the first thing is to understand that if you do get sick on a plane, you know, people tend to think that it's because of the recirculated air, and it's not. It's from other passengers, and it is from touch, which is why washing your hands is valid. You know, think about how you walk down the aisle when you get onto the plane. Are you touching the, you know, the backs of the seats as you go down? When you get to your seat, the buckle on your seat belt, your armrest, and your tray table are laden with germs. So I take antibacterial wipes, and as soon as I sit down, I wipe everything around me. I would wipe the passenger next to me if I were allowed.
I would too. I swear to God, my kids think I'm nuts. And I used to think that this aunt of mine was nuts. Jane, when she would go to a restaurant and then wash her hands and then use her paper towel to open the door, I was like, whatever, you know. And now here I am finding myself doing the same thing, which is crazy. Now, also, there's jet lag and time changes and all of these things that make us feel tired, exhausted. What can we do about those?
There's a lot you can do about jet lag. I mean, there's no single magical cure, but there, and I know there are lots of gimmicks out there, but they're, you know, they're really best avoided. Some free and non-gimmicky things you can do. First of all, avoid alcohol on your flight. Nobody likes to hear that, and especially if they're going on vacation. But, you know, think about how you might feel if you've had a glass of wine too many at night and how you feel the next day. Well, that's compounded when you're in an aircraft environment. Avoiding caffeine. getting outside as soon as you get to your destination, that's actually one of the most important things you can do, because, of course, you know, jet lag is a result of your circadian rhythms being confused, but they will adjust faster if you get outside at your end destination. Daylight is what you need.
That's true. And keeping hydrated is absolutely so important on the plane. Now, I'm just going to add in stress, because traveling is always a stressful thing. And for right now, so many people are stressed out about traveling and scared. So what do you recommend? I mean, that's where the alcohol comes in. I get on a plane and I want to have a Bloody Mary so that I can fall asleep, or so that I'm a little bit more relaxed. But people take Ambien, they take, you know, all these different Prozac and things, Xanax, before they get on a plane so that they're not so scared and stressed out.
That would be the last thing I would do, quite simply because I believe that people should keep their wits about them when they're traveling. I mean, I know there are very few incidents where there are emergencies. I've flown 1.7 million miles, and I've only experienced, I think, one emergency landing in that time. But you don't want to be groggy if something goes wrong or if there is an incident. And you also don't want to get to your final destination feeling that way, too. The other thing, if you're on a long flight and you're taking something to help you sleep, is the fact that you're more likely to sleep in a cramped position, and then that's going to affect your circulation. And I know there's a lot of talk about deep vein thrombosis and, you know, the correlation to frequent flying. Now, research has shown that that's not the case. You can just as easily get it sitting in an office or in a car or on a train. But you want to move. You want to get the circulation going in your body. So being zonked out and plopping your head against the window isn't going to help you.
Well, it's true, and nobody really sleeps. Well, and nobody sleeps that well on an airplane.
I don't think.
Anyway, I mean, you might. Do you sleep that well? I mean, I can fall asleep, but I kind of feel like it's always a conscious state unless I'm in a really comfortable first-class seat that leans back or something. I don't feel like I get... That's why I like, if we're flying overseas, to take the morning flight, because you get over there at 10 o'clock at night. You didn't sleep really that much during the day, and you get there at 10 o'clock at night, and you go to bed, and you wake up the next day on their time zone. So I love those morning flights as opposed to flying all night, getting there in the day, and then trying to stay awake all day to sightsee. So now we just have a couple of minutes left. Give us your best advice for staying healthy while we travel. Just really wrap it all up for us.
Sure. And again, I'm going to go back to stating the obvious, because people don't do it, and that's to stay hydrated. But I still sit on a plane and I'm watching people order coffee, orange juice, and soda. Hydrated cells are healthy cells. Exercise regularly. The healthy traveler is the one who follows a healthy lifestyle on a regular basis.
Well, true. And even if you are traveling and going somewhere, you can find, as Jane says, you can find places to walk, you can find paths to walk, and you can see more about her at janemcallister.com. Her book is called Mile High and Healthy, The Frequent Traveler's Roadmap to Eating, Energy, Exercise, and a Balanced Life. janemcallister.com. And if you missed any of this great healthy travel information, you can listen anytime, on demand or on the go, at RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, iTunes, or the free TuneIn Radio app. And share these shows with your friends. If you've got friends and family traveling, give them some of this good advice Jane gave us about staying hydrated. It's so important, about trying to reduce your stress, getting good night's sleep, using the airport for exercise instead of just sitting there on your phone. Get up and take a walk. See if your airport has a nice baggage storage where you can leave your baggage for just a little while you take a walk around the airport, because it's a great way to get your body moving before you have to sit on that big germ capsule for a few hours or longer. And make sure you wash your hands, use hand sanitizer. All of these are so, so important. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening. Stay well.